This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. In some ways, the music of Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Lila Downs tells America's immigration story, especially from the past few decades. Downs is the daughter of a Scottish-American man who taught at a Minnesota university. Her mother is an indigenous Mexican woman from Oaxaca. Growing up in Minnesota and Mexico, Downs had to make sense of the very different cultures that made up her world. She did that through music, drawing from all her life experiences, part celebration, part protest. Her newest album is called Al Chile, and she joins us now in studio. Lila Downs, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much.
We welcome your questions for Lila Downs or your stories about how you have used perhaps music or art or some other form of expression to deal with your cross-cultural heritage. Email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. I want to get into more of your story in just a moment, but let's start with some of your music and your latest album, Al Chile. What's the concept behind Al Chile?
Well, Al Chile means to say things directly, to the point, quickly. It's something that I always strive for. Since I am an anthropologist as well, it sometimes is difficult for me to be that way. But thankfully, I have music. And through music, I have been able to get to the point and tell stories about indigenous cultures, which concerns me principally, to tell this story in the U.S., because I think in the U.S. we have so much ignorance about who the Mexican people are or who the Nicaraguans or Salvadorans are and how we descend from Native American groups.
Well, no one wants to hear my voice more than they want to hear your music. And I think the more that we play your music, the less they'll want to hear my voice. So let's dive in with one track from Al Chile now. It's called Clandestino. I'd love to hear more about this in just a moment. And again, we welcome your questions and thoughts. But here is one track from Lila Downs' new album, Al Chile. This is Clandestino. That's Clandestino from the new album Al Chile by Lila Downs. Tell us about what Clandestino is about.
Yes, it's about being clandestine, about being illegal. Some of the lyrics say, my woes, I am on my way, I am condemned, on my way to Babylon, to the great Babylon. I am treated as a ghost in the city, and my life is illegal, according to the authorities. And I think to feel this way is a very difficult thing. And so 20 years ago, I wrote some songs and did an album called Border, La Línea. And 20 years later, I am interpreting this piece that Manu Chao wrote 20 years ago. So this theme has been very important in my lifetime. Always been trying to bring people together through music. And I am in every album that we do. And I think it's been almost 20 albums, try to bring people together through themes that that speak about this reality.
Now, what do you mean when you say Perdida en el corazón de la grande Babilón? Mm-hmm. What's the big Babylon? What are you talking about there?
Well, in my interpretation, of course, these are lyrics by Manu Chao, but it's about going to this place that everyone believes is the answer to our life. And I think that that's why so many people come to this country to find freedom and to find a dream and, you know, a reaction to what is happening so violently in their countries of origin. In Mexico right now, there are people coming from the Congo, and I have some other anthropologist friends who are in these areas on the border. And this is a very different situation than it was 20 years ago. And addressing it, I think, in every way possible is very important, especially through art.
There's something about this idea of not just doing something clandestine, but being something clandestine. Later on in that clip, we heard you sing Peruano, Clandestino, Hondureño, Clandestino, Mexicana, Clandestina. Mm-hmm. This idea of being a clandestine person rather than doing a clandestine thing. That's got some weight, too, I assume.
It does. For me, I think that it's about not being legitimate. And I think that is this whole issue that I relate to in a spiritual level, because if you are not a person, you're going to be treated the way that people are being treated at the detention centers today, below being human. And what does that mean? This is a very hurtful thing for the history of the U.S., I believe.
We're speaking to Lila Downs about her new album, Al Chile. We welcome your questions and thoughts as well, and your stories about how you have used music or art to bridge the cross-cultural nature of your life. 1A@WAMU.org. Let's talk a little bit more about your background. I'm curious to know what your upbringing was like being the daughter of a Scottish-American university professor and an indigenous Mexican mother. What was that like?
It was confusing, very confusing.
Confusing how?
Well, I guess that when I was with my brown-skinned mama, we would cross the border, go back and forth, because he was teaching at the University of Minnesota, teaching film and art, and they would put my mother and I in the little room and check us out. And yet when I traveled with my father, or when I went into a restaurant with my father, everything ran smoothly. So these are the differences that I learned to observe, and it angered me, and of course motivated me to compose songs about these realities, and at the same time to look for music that brings out the spirit of strength, I think, which is something that is difficult to find when you feel that you are not taken serious as a person.
Now, Oaxaca is kind of central southern Mexico. It's south of Mexico City. It's closer to Guatemala than to the U.S.-Mexico border.
That's right.
So you come from two different places that are quite distant. I mean, it's not like you were from, you know, Ciudad Juarez or Tijuana or like someplace that's right on the U.S. border. How did that affect your relationship with the U.S., with American culture?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, the indigenous communities in the South are rooted in, an archaic and ancient cultures, and we have the archaeological ruins that connect us to this past. So that makes it quite different, and we kind of long for this greatness in our past. But at the same time, we are very hard workers. We are mountain people. And we also are very curious about other places in the world, just like human nature, I guess. But I think for me, it was a very beautiful challenge to try and bridge those worlds, and very challenging as well. There are many cultures, Zapotec, Mixtec, Huave, different cultures that are connected to the Mayan area as well, which is in Guatemala.
And your mother was Mixtec, am I?
My mother is Mixtec, yes.
Tell us about the Mixtec people.
Yes, the Mixtec are actually one of the very well-known peoples whose manuscripts have survived the Spanish Inquisition, and therefore we know a lot about our spirituality, the music a bit, culture and history through these manuscripts. And we did some music based on these manuscripts a long time ago called The Tree of Life, because according to our people, we were born from the trees. And the Zapotec and the Mixtec are two of the largest indigenous groups in the state of Oaxaca. We have 16 different languages and indigenous groups in this state. And we have a beautiful folk festival that just happened a few weeks ago in Oaxaca that celebrate our indigenous groups. In Mexico, of course, we have 69 Native American languages that are very much alive today. And, you know, the Mayan and the Nahuatl, or the Aztec descendants, speak, you know, their languages, millions of them speak this language today.
I want to talk more about that relationship between indigenous groups and Mexican culture more broadly, because there's some friction there,
yes.
including some of your background. You talked about how you've kind of struggled to integrate your mother's culture. I want to talk more about that when we continue our conversation with Lila Downs. Clearly, you've got some fans listening. Carmen San Diego, which is the best Twitter handle ever. Carmen San Diego writes on Twitter, "Lila Downs is such an inspiration. I love her music so much. Thanks for this treat."
Thank you so much.
We'll be playing lots of her music. This is another track from Al Chile called Son del Chile Frito. We will get to more of your questions and stories in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. Es un placer to be with you, and we are listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR. This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're speaking with Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Lila Downs. Her folk fusion music celebrates her Oaxacan Mexican heritage and indigenous peoples everywhere. We'd love to hear from you, too, whether you are a big fan of Lila Downs' music, and some of you have already written in. If you're discovering it for the first time today, what questions do you have for her? Or perhaps you have found ways to express your cross-cultural heritage, especially for people who don't understand it, or maybe for people who judge you for it. Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or email 1A@WAMU.org. Before we play another song from Al Chile, let me get back to the story of your background. Your parents come from two very different worlds. How did they meet?
They met because my father was doing a documentary on the blue-winged teal, who migrate from Canada to the Yucatan Peninsula. And he went through Mexico City, and my mother was singing in a bar, according to him. And according to her, it was a cafeteria. So he was married at the time. So I have four brothers and sisters here in the U.S. And he came down to Mexico. He was a biologist, too, so he really fell in love with Oaxaca and the region that I grew up in, a small village called Tlaxiaco.
Before I go on with your story, describe Oaxaca to us. If someone went there for the first time who'd never been, what would they notice?
Well, it's really surprising to see how alive and thriving the indigenous communities are. And when you walk around them, it's a colonial city, so the architecture is very beautiful and it has been protected. So, you know, a lot of new buildings haven't been coming up. And of course, there's a very tight-knit community, artistic community. Amazing painters come from Oaxaca, Francisco Toledo, Rufino Tamayo. And of course, all these people come from the different villages. And geographically, it's quite varied. We are on the Pacific coast, so we have beautiful beaches, but we also have beautiful mountainous regions that you can go and hike in. And it's become more and more popular in recent years.
You said that by the time your father died, when you were 16, you had begun rejecting your mother's culture, but she kind of brought you back to it. Talk about that. What was it about her culture that you rejected?
Yes, I rejected it in myself. And I think this happens a lot with Mexican-American experience in the U.S. And also in Mexico, because I was bicultural, as I explained before. In Mexico, we are also rejected because of our indigenous roots. We try to deny our black hair and our dark skin. We try to be as white as we can. And so I really did, at one point, just break down and figure that I needed to discover my roots. I rejected my indigenous past. My mother and my grandmother always spoke to each other in Mixtec. And so that was also an issue in my school, in my elementary school. The kids rejected me for being the hija de la India and also la hija del Yankee. So it was, you know, Mexico has a very love-hate relationship with the U.S. as well.
So kind of a daughter of the natives, daughter of the Indians, and the daughter of the Yankees.
Of the enemy, exactly.
Of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we should be clear, Mixtec and Spanish, those don't sound alike. It's not like if you speak one, you can understand the other.
That's right. Within the discrimination and not allowing indigenous peoples to survive, the Spanish and the English, of course, prohibited people to speak their languages. So one of the notions is that the Native American languages are dialects, and they are not dialects. They are languages of their own, and they exist and have survived.
One of the things that I've noticed, I think last time I covered the 2010 census, I was still in South Florida, and there was a big outreach to the Mayan community that's living in Palm Beach County and parts of South Florida to get them to take the census by having census workers who could speak Mayan. And
exactly.
Could actually just explain to them in Mayan rather than saying, well, we'll write it in Spanish and cross our fingers.
Right.
Because the cultural gap is there.
That's
there's
right.
cultural distrust there that's justified.
Exactly.
How do you work through all that, especially being a child of two cultures who probably could have very easily just said, well, I'll just be Midwestern. I'll just be a Midwestern Minnesotan who happens to be Oaxacan.
Right. Yeah, well, I made my choice, and I was at the crossroads, and I decided to go down this path. And it's an issue in Mexico right now. You know, I think that a lot of indigenous groups are coming out of the closet, so to speak, in our nation, and therefore speaking for themselves. And this has been an opportunity for many groups, such as my own group, to speak in the name of the Mixtec. But since there haven't been so many spokespeople for our groups, we need to come together at different moments in time. And of course, it happens this way in any kind of movement, I imagine. But I'm very happy to say that that we are moving in a positive way.
Was there a turning point moment for you? Was there for lack of a better term, a last straw for you?
Yes, I think that my father died. The white man in my family died and passed on, and it definitely just made me deal with the fact that who I am and where do I want to move to, and I decided to really go along this path and learn a lot about my Native American culture. And I'm still learning and composing songs about many elements that enrich our culture. This last album that we came up with is about community activities, and volunteer activities is central in Native American philosophy. And so I love that when we have a fiesta actually has a ritual level to it where people need to contribute in form, not with money, but to make the fiesta come together. And of course, everybody does as much as they can. And I celebrate that on this album, singing about chiles, about peppers.
Before we play one more track from the album, with regards to your cultural reclamation, do you feel like in making the decision to really embrace your Mexican, your Oaxacan, your indigenous culture, that there was anything you had to kind of make peace with putting down, giving up, walking away from as you were walking towards something else?
Of course, yeah. I feel like I did stop performing and writing songs in English maybe in the past 10 years, kind of gave up a little bit on this side of the border. But, you know, it's always important to come and translate. And I think that I will continue to do that and fight for the information that is important, and especially when it's in poetic ways, you know, because I think that that translates much better.
You did work with one of this country's more well-known English language artists, Nora Jones, with a collaboration on Al Chile. I'd like to know more about what that collaboration was like after we play this track. Here are Lila Downs and Nora Jones with Dear Someone. Downs with Nora Jones singing Dear Someone. Talk about that song. Where'd that come from?
Well, basically, Nora decided that we would do this piece. She mentioned to us that she had a friend in college, a Mexican friend who had been going through some personal issues. I believe she was gay and her family was against her sexuality. And so she ended up committed suicide. And it was a difficult issue. So Nora decided that she wanted to do this piece, and I loved it. I love the message. Mm-hmm.
We are speaking to Lila Downs, playing tracks from her new album, Al Chile. Let's get to a different kind of music that I guess some people would refer to it as like protest music and like protest artist. How does that term strike you in terms of doing socially conscious music, especially because there's so much to be socially conscious about right now?
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess it makes me smile because I think of the 60s and 70s and a time when, you know, there was a wave of protest music. And I really ascribe to that. I think that I fell in love with that period because I felt like, you know, things were, a lot of issues were being dealt with. So I have inherited that. Of course, in Latin America, we have a very strong tradition of protest music as well. Mercedes Sosa, Silvio Rodriguez, Pablo Milanes, you know, the Cuban singer-songwriters. And I, I decided at one point, again, to either be just a singer or be a singer with meaning.
Now, the meaning of this song before we play it, this is a fairly recent track that is pretty pertinent to today's politics.
It is. It was right before the elections with President Trump. And I remember discussing with my husband about whether he would win or not. And I definitely thought that he would. And a lot of people were so optimistic and thought that he wouldn't. So this song was kind of about what I was feeling at the time.
Well, then let's hear that song. This is called The Demagogue.
At the edge of the world, where the factories are, there's a burning of hatred that's crossing the lines. There's a blue-eyed devil man, thinks he's king of the world. He's a bully. With his hate, turns man against man, but it's really not a game. And I pray to the ancestors' love to not be fooled by this man's foolish talk. The serpent woke again in different times and places. There's a burning cross leading the mob, people in chains. He's a quack, circus act, creeping from the past. He's the symbol of the monster we no longer want to be. What we used to be. The earth trembles with these names. Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Pinochet. No respect for woman, no respect for race. No respect for anything that lives the human race. But he cannot buy our soul.
That's The Demagogue. Leela, I imagine that you got a pretty intense response to The Demagogue, especially because it mentions Hitler and Pinochet and Mussolini.
Yeah.
And this was before the election.
This was before the election, exactly. Yeah. And, I guess there isn't much else to say.
that's just it. So when you put this kind of music out there, is the goal to get people... to reach people who agree with you, to kind of reflect their thoughts back? Is it to reach people who disagree? Like, what's your aim when you put out these kinds of songs?
Right, yeah. Well, actually, we were invited to do a concert at the border at this point. And I thought, I'm going to write a song about it. You know, the border has been such a major theme throughout my life. And I felt very strongly about all the things that he represents and the things that he likes to push in people's lives. And so I was very upset.
We'll continue our conversation with Leela Downs in just a moment as we pause with the song La Línea from her 2001 album Border. Monica emailed, I'm also Mexican-American, have lived in the U.S. for most of my life, and I have felt that bicultural tension that Leela describes. Leela's work has been a lifeline for me. Because of her, I was inspired to travel to Chiapas and Oaxaca to learn about a different Mexico than the one I was used to seeing. We'll continue our conversation with Leela Downs and get to more of your comments in just a moment. Stay close.
Flor de maíz.
estrella, no delumbre la tierra que te parió.
Back now to our conversation with singer-songwriter Lila Downs. Her latest album is called Al Chile. Let's get to some of your comments. Chris tweeted, "I'm cherishing this interview with Ms. Downs. As a kid, I fell in love with her on the Frida soundtrack, along with Caetano Veloso, and have followed her career since. Keep up the beautiful work."
Thank you so much.
Bianca tweeted, "Lila Downs, we started introducing your music to our children from the womb."
Oh, wow.
"Emilio's and Lucy's first concert was Lila Downs in Chicago at the Park."
Oh,
much love.
Beautiful.
In response to our question about how you express your heritage, Yochi emailed, "As Israeli Americans, we express our tradition through making Israeli food on the local growers market at Lake Ella in Tallahassee, Florida. In particular, gourmet falafel with organic veggies from our garden."
Yeah.
"I'm glad that lunch is 18 minutes away." Thank you all very much for your questions and your thoughts and your stories. Keep them coming. 1A@WAMU.org. We took a break with the song Demagogue, and I'm interested to know your thoughts about where music, art, culture stand today in terms of our debates over immigration, over the border, over some of the racial hatred that has sprung up. You know, one of the first things that happened in El Paso after the shooting at the Walmart there was a protest event, but you couldn't help noticing there was a lot of music in the background. There were a lot of artists who were kind of integral to that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, definitely music has this amazing healing quality. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. And I don't think that I appreciated it enough for what it is, for the magic that can happen with music. So if we can do more concerts at the border, about the border, that enable and teach people about what is happening, I think it would really help things.
Do you have a sense that things like the shooting in El Paso affect folks in Oaxaca, elsewhere in Mexico? What's the ripple effect been like?
Yeah, well, I have been. We were just at a concert in New York City at Central Park, and people were talking about it. And people who had relatives down there, we have an accordionist who is from actually that area. And, you know, everyone is really afraid of what may continue to happen.
Is it difficult in some ways where you, I'm sure, have many different kinds of music you'd like to make? Clearly, you've got quite a span of styles in your career, and I want to play something from a few years ago to demonstrate that a little more. In moments like these where politics are so front and center and they're just unavoidable, is it constraining in any way where you feel like, oh, I wanted to do this, but I gotta speak to this moment?
Well, I think that what I try to do is to use the moment in order to speak of certain messages. And since I have been a singer who has been around for over 20 years, I have actually in my lifetime seen the cycle repeat. And I remember the Reagan years. And I'm very into, you know, having communication with the audience and noticing movements in people. And, you know, one of the really positive things in our concerts is that I do see a lot of older white folks. And I can say this because my father was a white guy.
You can say it anyway. You're allowed to call white people white people. It's a
That's factually right. That's demonstrable. Right. Point.
You can
and,
just say it.
You know, I see a lot more people coming to our concerts. And I really appreciate that because it's an opportunity to teach people about who we are. And I believe that's why they're coming out.
So yeah. You see more of an openness now?
Or? I do. Yeah. And so that's beautiful. And then I see a lot of sadness in the Latino community, and that really hurts. It's I see people cry when I'm singing, and you know, that's beautiful. It's beautiful to be able to provoke some catharsis and live the moment.
Do you ever have any conversations with some of the folks at concerts in terms of what they're thinking or what they locked into or what they keyed into from what you're singing?
Yeah, I do. And I definitely, I have had moments when people tell me about their family members not being able to come to the concert because they're afraid that there might be an ICE raid at our concert. Thank you. And you know, these stories that are familiar to me now, and also not being able to visit with family members because of the same reasons, and then reading some news about how, you know, these detention centers are for profit and these kinds of things that are this double messages that we have in this country. It's painful to see.
Karen emailed, "My children grew up listening to Lila's version of La Cucaracha while riding in the backseat of the car. Her music recognizes the incredible diversity, richness, and value of what it means to be Mexican and humanizes a population that is too often flattened, disregarded, and persecuted. We need her voice and every other one that adds to it now more than ever."
Thank you.
I'd like to talk a bit about how that voice has evolved over the years. Let me play a clip from your 2008 album, Shake Away. This is called Minimum Wage.
Traveled 700 miles across the border to the States with a plastic bottle running across the desert in a shake. Come to English-only country, hiding from the Minutemen. Come to make this place my home, run a long, long way from there. Story of a lifetime for the minimum wage. Well, they chase me through the desert, then the agents strap me down. Then they ask me why in Spanish, why you keep on coming back. Well, I left my dad in Jersey and my sisters in Des Moines. They've been working in this country, picking lettuce, washing floors. Story of a lifetime.
Minimum Wage from her 2008 album, Shake Away. How have you noticed your own evolution musically as an artist over the years?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I've tried certain things and I've either continued with them or I've kind of, left off at one point. I think that I would love to do an album of mariachi music, but I also have a love of jazz. So these will be the next projects, and they're very different from one another. Our music, I think, has a lot to do with the roots of music, and that's very important to me. And I think it's beautiful because it crosses generations.
How did you find your voice, literally your voice, figure out what register you're best in, what tone you're best in? There are moments when you're very lilting and moments where you're very husky. And like, how do you find those sweet spots?
Oh, my. Well, I'm still looking.
You found a few. You found one or two at least, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of it's a blessing and it's not so much of a blessing to be able to sing all kinds of stuff. And you just kind of have to. I guess that I decided more about the message that I was conveying rather than finding the middle of the voice. And I think I'm going to be working on that in the next two albums. Yeah.
Speaking of that voice, could I ask you to sing something for us? You performed a song called Los Caminos de la Vida. Your mother translated it into Mixtec. Before you sing a little piece, could you just tell us about it?
Yeah, this is a beautiful Colombian piece, Vallenato. And, you know, Mexico, as well as many other Latin American countries, have adopted the cumbia. The cumbia is central to a way of dance and also of telling stories. So this is a song that's about appreciating our parents and thanking them because of the surprises in the path of life. Y chicano y otao yo, tu jinina jasua yo, tu juku inina, binate ni jinina, Ichikanu iotau yo, tuhini nahasua yo, jisha kenta yo, jisha kwa yo. Los caminos de la vida.
And what does that mean?
The paths of life are not at all what I thought they would be. They are a surprise, and I am humbled by the lessons of life.
Stop reading my mind. Why are you surveilling me, Leela Downs? I don't appreciate that a bit. I do not appreciate you killing me softly with your song. Not necessary. But since you mentioned La Cumbia, Cara tweeted, I am a Spanish teacher in New Hampshire, and I have used Leela Downs' songs and videos, La Cumbia del Mole and La Patria Madrina, with my students. Wonderful. Thank you for your wonderful music, Leela.
Thank you.
Telling all my life. I mean, between Los Caminos de la Vida and Dear
it
Someone,
is.
I'm like,
it's
get out of my studio before you break me. One more song I'd like to get to, and it's called La Llorona. Tell us about, first of all, explain what La Llorona is. It's,
yeah.
it's a well-known legend.
Yes,
and
yes.
then tell us about the song.
Yeah. Well, she is a spiritual force in all of us, and I think she's also this representation of death, but at the same time, she is the seductress. So in the recent versions in my village, people would say that at the end of a dance, you know, we have these fiestas and around 3 a.m, if you were in kind of a lonely place where there's no one else around, you would see this beautiful woman with the long black hair. And in recent versions, she's wearing a mini skirt and high heels.
Because times change. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Got to adapt. The mm-hmm. ghosts adapt. So she would call you and call you, and you walk towards her, but you feel like you're not really advancing. By the end of the night, you are with her, and a few weeks later, this person who ends up following her appears with the life sucked out of them. So she represents different. Scary things, but at the same time, love and life.
All right. Before we go, let's get to one more song. This is La Llorona.
Salir del templo un día y llorona cuando al pasar
yo te vi.
Salías del templo un día y llorona cuando al pasar yo te vi. Hermoso huipil llevaba de orón que la Virgen te crió. Hermoso huipil llevaba de orón que la Virgen te crió. Buriagui, Gusha, Vicente, Tiguela, Cayuna, Tiguna, Win. Ya Vicente Figuela Cayuna Tiguna Win Shipurngaru Nushuna Shibigan Pakasabi Sisibin Shipurngaru Nushuna Shibigan Pakasabi Sisibin Ay Shiang
by Leela Downs. Before we got to let you go, tell us a little bit about what's next for you. Where are you going from here? Your next project? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, we are going back to Mexico after this concert in D.C., and we will be doing a number of concerts that have to do with the Day of the Dead. We have a great tradition, of course, in Mexico of doing the altars. And this time around, we're going to be doing a series of concerts on both sides of the border, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California, and also in Mexico, in different states.
And one more thing before I let you go. I think you're going to get a lot of new listeners from today, but what are you listening to? What's on your playlist these days?
Oh, my goodness. That's always such a difficult question, but I'm listening to La Traviata, Kendrick Lamar, Mercedes Sosa, Aida Cuevas, different music, and of course, always Miles Davis.
I love the crossover between La Traviata and Kendrick Lamar. I absolutely love that. Lila Downs, a singer-songwriter. Her newest album is called Al Chile. Lila, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for spending the hour with us.
Thank you for having me.
As we close with a new track, La Cariñito, from the album Al Chile, I should let you know that this conversation was produced by Denise Couture with help from Avery Kleinman. You can learn more about our team at theoneA.org/staff. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening. This is 1A.